all the promise of Christy Burton Brown. Oh, to be young and a star lawyer like her. Christy Burton Brown, you've been a lot of special places. You're the executive VP of the Colorado GOP, but you've never been here before. Christy Burton Brown is involved in a lot of current events. Christy, welcome to Craig's Lawyers Lounge. Good to have you
on. Thanks for having me, Craig. Good to be here.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, I have a team of paralegals standing by, and through the magic of radio, they can bring you anything your heart might desire. What could they bring you on a Saturday morning, bearing in mind that they're going to bring me the same thing, and I've got three sessions of Craig's Lawyers Lounge, so don't fill me up too much.
Oh, well, I'll always take more coffee.
All right, coffee. Do you drink black, or do you use cream or sugar?
Just cream, no sugar.
Boy, I don't use cream. Do you like cream substitutes?
I used to, and then I decided to be a little healthier and just go with the straight cream.
Boy, I was cleaning out my old office, and there were a lot of coffee supplies, and we have a lot of that artificial creamer that my staff liked. I don't use cream. I'm drinking. I take the tiniest amount of sugar. If I go through McDonald's or anywhere, I can't let other people. I just need a little hint of a sweetener in it. That's all I need. My mom loved to drink coffee black, and I think I'm getting to that stage. But we're not here to talk about coffee. We're here to talk about Christy Burton Brown, and your coffee will be right on the way. Tell us about yourself. Here's what I know about you. You came on my radar, I think, back during the Capitalist and Silverman days when you put forth the most honest amendment I've ever seen in Colorado political history, the Personhood Amendment. Did you come on our show then? I kind of recall you did.
I did, yeah. That was one of my first radio shows. It was a good one.
Well, and you've gone on to amazing things. Tell everybody about how you became a lawyer and why you were attracted to become an attorney at law.
Absolutely. I mean, I deeply believe in the Constitution and the foundations of our country. And so that's the kind of law I practice, is constitutional law. I went to law school to focus on the Constitution. I do deeply care about the pro-life issue, as you mentioned. I think we have to do a lot of work in as a society, both in law and the culture, on that issue. So that's near and dear to my heart. I'll always work on that. Beyond that, I also work on free speech, freedom of religion issues, just key First Amendment, 14th Amendment principles that a civilized society has to keep to succeed. And I do think one of the best avenues of keeping us a constitutional republic is through the Republican Party. So I've also been involved with the party over the last, oh goodness, at least 10 years, and just got elected 2 months ago to become vice chairman of the Colorado State Republican Party.
Where did you go to law school?
Oak Brook College of Law.
And when did you pass the Colorado Bar Exam?
I took the California Bar Exam, actually. Passed it right out of law school while I was pregnant with my daughter. So I say I had two brains, which helped me pass it on my first try. And then I'm admitted to federal courts out here in Colorado, the 10th Circuit and the Colorado District Court.
I see. And the California bar is tough to pass. So if you pass that, you should be able to pass the Colorado bar. Do you have plans to take that? Is there no reciprocity?
You know, I don't plan to at this point, because to practice constitutional law, I just need to be admitted in the federal courts, and I am admitted there. So that's really my focus right now.
Well, it's good enough for Craig's Lawyers Lounge. Now,
yeah.
I have on three different lawyers at different stages in their career, and I'm thinking about it a lot because I just started the third act of my legal career with the law firm of Springer and Steinberg, and I'm real excited about it. But I remember when I was young like you, and in my first act, tell us about your daily life as a lawyer. What do you do?
Well, you know, Craig, since I focus on constitutional law, I'm able to take pro bono cases when they fit in the 14th or First Amendment specifically, and just take them on a case-by-case basis, whether I'm helping with a brief. I've helped on two briefs before the U.S. Supreme Court. They do that kind of work on occasion. Sometimes I take the case entirely myself. It really just depends on the circumstances, and I'm able to take them pro bono. That's just how I focus in law right now. And then I've also done a good amount of work in policy at the Colorado legislature for various Republicans who've been elected there. Just policy analysis, helping to write bills through a constitutional perspective. I've helped a couple other states as well, Missouri and Maryland, helped with some constitutional testimony or analysis of bills out there.
If I understand correctly, you are a millennial. It's not polite to ask a lady her age, but are you still under 30?
I'm 31, actually.
Oh, you're 31 now. You're so old. But have you ever thought about what Act 2 and Act 3 of your legal career or your political career is going to be? Tell us the aspirations of Christy Burton Brown.
Yeah, good question, good question. I think I just want to follow the path that follows the Constitution, brings our nation back to those roots. So I love doing constitutional law. I love politics. I think politics are one of the ways we change our society. And when we change our state, we change our nation. When we change our nation, we change the world. And every change I believe we make needs to help people. And that's really at the core of what I believe and what I want to do is helping people, helping them live better lives, helping them protect the lives of those around them, helping them stand up for their rights. So wherever that takes me, whether it is more, you know, more legal cases, I love appellate law in particular, or whether it takes me deeper into politics, I want to go on the road that helps people.
I had a session of Craig's Lawyers Lounge with David Koppel, who you listened to because you contacted me afterwards. I got a lot of reaction. I mean, many thousands of people listened to that.
Right.
Several hundred downloaded it to put it in their computer. What was it about the Dave Koppel interview that caught your attention so much?
Well, you know, I listened to a good amount of his discussion with you on the Second Amendment. That's always intriguing to me as a constitutional lawyer. And then specifically his discussion with you on the Tom Sullivan recall, since I'm involved in that. I definitely was interested in that part of the conversation.
Right. Dave Koppel, part of the Independence Institute, among other jobs he does. John Caldera, head of the Independence Institute. Both of them opine that this recall of Tom Sullivan is ill-advised, and those guys want conservatives to win, generally speaking. So how do you defend the recall of Tom Sullivan? It appears to have been triggered by his support for the red flag law, and given that his son Alex Sullivan was murdered on Alex's birthday, how can you go after Tom Sullivan for supporting a law like that?
You know, Craig, I think that's one of the biggest misunderstandings about this recall that the mainstream media and the Democrats love to push out there, that I've seen being pushed as the media narrative, is that this is all about the red flag bill. And that's a part of what Tom Sullivan went and did at the Capitol. It's definitely not even close to all that he did. If you read the language of the recall petition itself, we name multiple bills that he voted for that did not represent the interests of people in House District 37, which is where I live and where he represents. And one of those, actually, it's related to one of his campaign promises. He promised when he campaigned in my neighborhood that he would help Colorado families get and keep good paying jobs. And then he went to the Capitol and voted on 181, which is going to hurt the oil and gas and steel industries in our state. He voted against the coal industry, all these job-killing measures he went to the Capitol and voted for.
Christy, did you hear that advertisement that so interestingly played right before you came on? It was paid for by the Rocky Mountain gun owners. It's about recall Tom Sullivan. If you want to get involved, text red flag to 67076. That, how can you deny that it's not tied to red flag? It certainly is for Rocky Mountain gun owners.
Well, Craig, you know, I'm not the Rocky Mountain gun owners.
But you're in bed with them on this.
I would disagree with you on that. I'm a citizen of House District 37. I filed this recall based on my own decision to file the recall, not because they asked me to. I filed it on my own. I paid to print the petitions. This is what I did as a mom, as a citizen of this district. Any group who wants to come in and help us recall Tom Sullivan, they're welcome to do what they want to do, focus on what they want to do.
No, wait. When you say any group, counselor, I mean, if David Duke wanted to come in and support it, you'd say no, right?
Of course I would say no to that. I'm talking about any legitimate grassroots groups that is here in Colorado. We have a whole list of them. Multiple groups like that are actually involved on the Sullivan recall, including Get Her Done Right Colorado, Decide Colorado, these groups that focus on issues like parental rights, which he voted against at the Capitol, groups that focus on people's jobs, which he promised.
No, I've got it. He's too liberal for you. I got it. And you say he's too liberal for the district. Now, 37, doesn't that encompass a lot of Arapahoe County?
It is all entirely in Arapahoe County. It's parts of Aurora, Centennial, and Englewood. And the district is actually, it's really not a swing district. It's pretty heavily Republican. We have not had a Democrat representative before. This is the first time our district has ever elected a Democrat. Generally, the Republican wins by 9% of the votes.
Well, tell Dave Walcher about it. Tell Matt Crane. The district changed the last time around. I mean, these stalwart Republicans who were doing great jobs, they got defeated by unknowns because the tide has turned in House District 37. I know you want to turn it back, but aren't you misrepresenting the attitude of that district in the last election?
No, Craig, I don't think we are. I think 2018, it's not because the tide is turning that heavily in District 37. If you look at the numbers, it's really not because the tide is turning. People voted a certain way in 2018, unfortunately, and now they're having a lot of reality is hitting them when they looked at the legislative session. As we've gone door-to-door to get signatures on the Sullivan recall, we have actually heard people who are Democrats say, I will never vote Democrat again, because they watched what Tom Sullivan and the other Democrats did at the Capitol. They saw how they broke their promises on jobs and so many other issues at the Capitol, and they realized it's really not what they were told when Tom Sullivan was campaigning. Didn't tell people, and let's even talk about the red flag, Bill, because that's certainly part of the recall.
Well, let's do, because David Koppel, he says that he supports a well-crafted red flag law, would you?
You know, I look at the laws that are actually being proposed, and I take a stand on the ones that are actually
Is there any red flag law in the country? Is there any red flag law in the country that you would support?
Honestly, Craig, I would need to read them. I've read the ones proposed in Colorado, and I oppose the one in 2018 and the one in 2019.
I commend you the one in Connecticut. But let's get back to the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. Are you a member of that organization?
No, I am not.
And what is your feeling about Dudley Brown? David Koppel trashed the guy on my show last week. I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with Dudley Brown. What's your attitude toward him?
My attitude is the same that I adopt towards any grassroots organization. Grassroots organizations in Colorado have the right to defend or fight for whatever issues they believe in. And it's not my place as a citizen to go tell them exactly how they can conduct their business. I think if that's up to them. And I think you should ask Rocky Mountain Gun Owners themselves about why they use the tactics they use. I'm focused on working as a citizen for this recall against Tom Sullivan.
David Koppel said they're anathema to true Second Amendment advocates because they really don't contribute. They're outliers. And he says Dudley Brown and Rocky Mountain Gun Owners are in it for the money. Sort of like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Maybe it's a good cause to fight discrimination, but Morris Dees let it get away from him, probably because of money. They keep pressing the buttons for people to hit donate, and that's what Dave Koppel accused Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. Is there any truth to that, and would that cause you concern?
Well, you know, I did hear him go into that, Craig, on your show last week, and what I think is that we fight a losing battle when we try to attack each other, when we're grassroots organizations that believe in the same core principles. I think we need to take a step back and say, if we're Republicans, if we're conservatives, if we're people who care about the rights laid out in the Constitution, we need to focus on who the actual enemy is. Who are we actually fighting? And who we should be fighting is the people who are trampling over our constitutional rights, the organizations that do not support the interests we support as families, as parents, as gun owners. If we believe in the Constitution, we need to stop fighting other people who also believe in it.
Right, but
we
that
need to
that
actual opposition.
That 11th commandment of Ronald Reagan went away a long time ago. I'm not a Republican myself, but I know a lot of Republicans, and many of them are on the radio, and they spend entire shows trashing other Republicans like Bob Beaupre or Ryan Call or John McCain or Mitt Romney. Do you stay away from that yourself?
You know, I do. I think that's a troubling path to go down as a Republican. When we waste our time fighting each other and publicly disagreeing with each other, you really don't see as many of the Democrats and the liberals doing that. They have their internal private conversations, which are valuable for any party and any organization to have, but they don't go out and publicly attack each other. And if we as Republicans want to actually focus on winning back our state and standing up for constitutional rights, I think we do need to stop trashing each other publicly. We are united on so much more than we disagree on. And that is the public stand we need to take. We are united on defending the rights of people. We are united on helping the citizens of our state. We are united in standing up for the rights of parents and business owners and employees who want to keep their jobs. And those are the things we should be talking
now
about.
Now that sounds like a stump speech, that. A stump speech for the Republicans. But I like you. I got your coffee with cream. It's waiting for you. Why don't you take a sip when we come back? Get ready to talk about Donald Trump. Let's talk about the red flag law. And then let's talk about your pro-life position and the amazing things that are going on in various states. Okay, Christy?
Sounds great.
All right, great. We're going to drink some coffee. Be right back on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to the Craig Silverman Show. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Kirkland stays hot. B-52's June Bug. Live performance by the B-52's. Christy Burton Brown and Craig's Lawyers Lounge. I admire the lady. She's a mover. She's a shaker. She's an attorney at a young age. She's involved politically, and I loved her personhood amendment because, to me, it confronted the most difficult question that a lot of us face. When are you a human being that entitles you to all the protections of our Constitution? Well, Christy Burton Brown put forth Colorado Amendment 62, which would have defined personhood as every human being from the beginning of the biological development of that human being. And that's one way to look at it. Did I get it right, Christy Burton Brown? Was that the language of Amendment 62 as proposed by you in November 2, 2010 ballot?
Well, you know, Craig, I mean, that's what science says. Science tells us life begins at conception. It's not a difficult concept. And if we are a country that values human life, we should value and protect all human life.
And 2 years before you brought it, I think it was another group, Personhood USA in 2008 brought a similar amendment. At both times in 2008 and 2010, the people of Colorado considered this proposal, and it did not even crack 30%. Why not?
Well, you know, Craig, actually, I was the one who brought it in 2008, okay. And then we were other groups who brought it in 2010 and 2012. That's how the timeline went. And, you know, I think one of the best values that we get out of running amendments that tell the truth is that we create a conversation among people, and people have to talk, and they have to face the truth of what a human life is. I mean, we can see on 4D ultrasounds now that weren't even really a thing. I mean, way back in 2008, not that long ago, but technology has advanced even so far between now and then. We know that child in the womb is a human being. But we see their fingers. We see their toes. Sure. We know they're a person.
But I did not need to know. I mean, come on. Nobody with a brain needed to see an ultrasound to realize that the zygote and then the fetus was growing into a viable child. Everybody knew that before. And ultrasound doesn't confront the issue of what happens right after conception. It doesn't look like a human being for a while. I mean, if it looks like a human being, people get affected. But if I understand the personhood amendment in your position, you would outlaw Plan B, abortifacient drugs, right?
Well, you know, Craig, what I'd really like to talk about is Colorado's not facing a personhood amendment this year. But okay. We absolutely still have the pro-life discussion.
I need to be able to control my own show, and I just praised you on your honesty. And I think it's important for people to understand the position you favor is no Plan B and no in vitro fertilization, right?
That's actually not correct. That would not be my position. And I think the best way of summarizing my position is that every human being deserves a chance at life. Every human being should be protected at every stage of their life under our Constitution, under our laws. I mean, that's in the Republican Party platform. When you talk to people, I mean, goodness, when we go on college campuses, and by we, I mean pro-life people, when we go on college campuses and talk to these students and have a real discussion with them about what is human life and how should we protect those lives in law and in our culture, I mean, people see the science, they see the ultrasound, they see the reality.
But I want to talk about petri dishes. containing the possibility of a human being that are stored for people going through in vitro fertilization. And I think about this example because I know those zygotes are stored in those petri dishes at facilities in Colorado and elsewhere. And if I came upon such a building engulfed in flames and I could save either a box of 24 zygotes or an 80-year-old security guard overcome by smoke, who would you suggest I rescue?
You know, Craig, I would suggest that in that moment, you have to listen to what is in your own heart, and you have to save human beings, as many of them as you can save. And that's a decision that's going to be between you and God.
I'd save the security guard. I'd save the security guard. What would you do?
And I think saving him is a great choice. I think I would face the same question you would. Which human beings can I save? And I think one of the key points in these kind of discussions, Craig, is that we shouldn't dehumanize human beings by using scientific terms for what they are. When we're talking about human life, we're talking about human life. Nothing other than a human being is growing inside a woman's womb. I know this. I've had
children myself. So you're saying a zygote is the same as you or me?
I am saying at every stage of development, a human being is a human being. And if we read an embryo, there's not a single embryology or genetic textbook out there that says something different. From the very moment we were created, and even our Declaration of Independence talks about the creation of human beings, not their birth. From the moment of our creation, we are the same person. And that's something, as I think you can see if you look across the national landscape,
sure,
that our country is really waking up to the truth that human beings are human beings.
I mean, in the South, Missouri, Georgia, Louisiana, they're having really restrictive abortion laws. I'm following this with interest as a lawyer because it's leading to court cases. As you well know, a fellow lawyer who's thought about this probably a lot more than I have, plus you're a mother, am I right? How many kids do you have?
I am. I have two kids, so yes.
And if you ever got pregnant again, would you ever consider having an abortion?
No, absolutely not.
Because it would be
wrong. Every child is precious, no matter the circumstances.
And if you did, that would be wrong, right?
Abortion is taking the life of a human being.
Right.
That's not something I would do as a mother. And I think,
and if you take the life of a human being, as a former prosecutor, that's murder, and the person who takes the life is going to be punished, just like this grandfather allegedly shooting his family and his own grandkid. Of course he should be punished. But if you were, and I know you would never do this, Christy, but if you were to have an abortion and terminate that life growing inside of you, why shouldn't you be punished? You're a lawyer. You're smart. You know the issue. Why do all these laws exempt women from responsibility when, isn't that patronizing chauvinism? Like women can't think about these things? You're evidence that women can think about these things and make certain decisions.
You know, I don't agree with your take on that, Craig. I think one of the things our society, this is what I was going to say, one of the main things our society has messed up on is that we haven't been supportive enough of women in pregnancies. And they've been pressured. I mean, you do a lot of surveys on women who've had abortion. There's a high percentage of women.
I'm not talking about other women. I'm talking about you, Christy Burton Brown, who's not going to be pressured by anybody. But if you made the choice for whatever reason to have an abortion, why shouldn't you be punished the same way as the doctor you hired to do it?
Well, you know, Craig, I'm not going to evaluate myself on a decision that I haven't made and wouldn't make. What I can tell you is that punishing women is not the way to go. That's not what these laws are doing. That's not what a law that I've supported does. The women need support from our culture. They need people to come alongside them, to support them, to help them see how strong they are, that they can give life to their children and still support and do well in their own lives. That's a mistake we've made as our culture. Planned Parenthood, a lot of these, you know, these groups tell women you can't have a career and be a mother. Yes, you can. I know personally you can. I took the bar exam while I was pregnant with my daughter because women can do both.
Right. So why are you being so patronizing to women like they're stupid? They're infants. They have no conception of what they're doing when you're just proving on the radio that, of course, women know what they're doing.
This isn't about patronizing women. I believe firsthand and know firsthand how smart women are and how much strength we have. What I'm saying is that the problem in the abortion discussion is not the women. It is the lies society and places like Planned Parenthood have told women, the pressure we have allowed men in some cases to put on women and feel forced into an abortion. there are far more issues at play that we have to confront as a society that has had a legalized abortion on demand for 40 years. And punishing women isn't going to get us anywhere. That's not the key issue.
Let's switch to Donald Trump. On a 1 to 10 scale, how do you rate him, 10 being the best?
I think I'd give him a 10. He is doing an incredible job for our nation. Our economy is booming. Unemployment rates for minority groups like Hispanics and Black Americans are at all-time lows.
What do you do with this Stormy Daniels incident? Do you believe that he had relations with her?
You know, honestly, Craig, that's not something I really get into.
Okay, I thought you'd say that. What about him taking Kim Jong-un's side and calling Biden low IQ and saying that he agreed with him in Japan? Was that 10-like behavior for you?
What did you say?
Here, let me play the soundbite. This was in Japan, overseas.
Does it give you pause at all to be appearing to side with a brutal dictator instead of with a fellow American, the former Vice President Joe Biden?
Well, Kim Jong-un made a statement that Joe Biden is a low IQ individual. He probably is, based on his record. I think I agree with him on that.
But in terms of criticism that you're sort of supporting a dictator instead of an American vice president?
Well, when I look at what's been done by our vice president and the president...
You get the gist, Christy. Was that appropriate, or would you wish the president wouldn't say that overseas and agree with Kim Jong-un, who just executed, three or four people who were part of the failed negotiation with Donald Trump? Why would you say that overseas? I mean, I don't care for Joe Biden, and I've ripped him on the radio, but doesn't that bother you a little bit? I'm sorry, Christy, I had you on hold. Doesn't that bother you a little bit?
Oh, you know, I think, Craig, that's focusing on... This is what the mainstream media likes to do to Trump. They don't focus on the real issues, on how he's benefiting the lives of Americans, and they play on specific words that he says. They make huge stories out of phrases instead of stories about the issues.
But what about John McCain and hiding that ship from Donald Trump? I mean, is that a little